Well, at 8:30 this morning, I preached about the Holy Spirit. Wanted to preach about the foolishness of the cross. I had that one ready to go, and it wasn't to be. So then at 9:30, I went downstairs and I thought, I'll preach about the foolishness of the cross down here, and then it wasn't to be. And so here we are again, and we're going to go through a little bit of scripture right now from the book of Matthew, chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory. Was last week I left a Pentecost sermon, wasn't that right? Yeah, that's what you gave. Yeah, and you know, it's not uncommon for people to preach about Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. So that's good. Last week I said at 8:30 the people heard Billy Graham, and 11 o'clock they heard Logan Paff. And God can work, and God can work through both. So last week you talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Last week was Pentecost. That was the church's birthday. Did you know that? When the Holy Spirit came, Jesus had promised that on this rock I will build my church. And he was talking, looking at Peter, and he said, I'm going to build my church. And then on the day of Pentecost, Jesus had, after 40 days, Jesus had risen from the dead. He walked around for 40 days. After 40 days, he ascends in the clouds. Remember, if you were here, we talked about that. Jesus went up in the clouds, and they said, he's coming back just like that. And until then, he's going to send this advocate, this promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to come live in you. And that was after 10 more days. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and the church is formed. Now, Matthew chapter 25, starting with the verse 41. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, obviously here they're talking about when He comes back. Then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. And some of you have heard this scripture read in church by a preacher 50 times. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you that are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Isn't that hard to comprehend? From the foundation of the world. Like when I pray with people, and I'm at the hospital or I'm at the mission, and I pray with people, and I'll often say, Lord, this prayer on this day, you decided to put us together somehow. We've all got free will, but somehow you all showed up here today of your own accord. Some of you, someone made you come, but most of you came of your own free will. And I think about when God laid the foundations of the earth, He knew on this day that you were going to be here. So when I pray with people, I'll say, Lord, when you laid the foundations of the earth, you had set this day apart for us to bow in prayer before you and ask for this need. Give thanks for this blessing. So, God knows the day Jesus is coming back. Nobody else knows. If anybody else tells you they know, they don't know. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to the one of the least of these, who are members of My family, you did it to Me. Then He will say to those at His left hand, you that are accursed, depart from Me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not come and visit me. Then they will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not come take care of you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And I just thought, if any kids happen to be paying attention to that, the devil and his angels. Did you know the devil had angels? Don't we always think of angels as a good thing? Don't you always want an angel around? And the devil has his angels. The devil has his, I hate to use the word minions, because now you think of the little yellow guys. But the devil has his helpers. And sometimes it's me. Amen? Can you say that? The devil has his helpers, and sometimes it's me. I'm ashamed to admit it. You ever the devil's helper? So, was anybody here at 8:30 church? Or 9:30 church, I mean. Okay, good. I was a little more frank at 9:30 church than I will be here. But I was... We went back to the graduation in Mason. It was Wahama High School. Christopher Clark's the name of the kid who we went back specifically to see. Christopher would come in our house. We never locked our door, and just to be honest, we rarely lock it here either. We rarely lock our door. We never locked it back there. And Christopher was 10 years old when we got to Mason. And he lived just across the field, across the street. And he and his brother Bryce, we were really close to that family. And Christopher would walk in our house. And if we were home, we'd hear him yell, anybody home? And we'd say, yeah, we're in here. What are you doing? Oh, sometimes he'd say, nothing. I was just walking by. Stopped in. Sometimes we'd see him and he'd say, I was by your house yesterday, you weren't there, but I stayed around and petted Bob for a little bit. Our cat, whose name was Bob. Yeah, he'd say, I stay. And when we left, he would come and take care of Bob for us when we were away. So we went back to see his graduation, and we're sitting up in the balcony of the high school gymnasium. And Christopher's mom and dad walk in, and we wave down to him because the parents... Each kid gets four tickets to sit in the seats down on the floor, and everybody else is sitting back in the back. We were sitting back in the back, and his parents went, and I'm going, and they're holding up tickets. And so I go down. I don't know if you knew this, but Christopher, every kid just got four tickets. Well, there was mom and dad and a brother, so we knew that. And when they were calling us down, Christopher got five tickets. Oh, okay. So anyhow, I went down and sat on the floor, and Diane stayed up in the balcony with some other people. So I'm sitting there, and I see in the row ahead of me, Donald. Donald, I'm assuming will never listen to this, because I didn't record 8:30 church, so this is the one I'm going to have to put online. Donald had a rough life. Donald is probably 30 years old. Donald lived in a trailer behind the church. And Donald frequently needed help. He 6 years I was there, and he never really could have a job or keep a job. Always needed help. Had a rough upbringing, I'm sure. So Donald happens to be sitting in front of me. And Donald said, well, I wish you'd never left. And I said, yeah, well, you know, I got to go. Had to go. But I said, just before we left, he started working at McDonald's. And I said, so Donald, are you still working at McDonald's? And he said, I am. 2 years and 5 months. And I said, that's awesome. Plus when, you know, if people go to get a better job, if you've been working somewhere for a few years, that looks good on your resume, right? And so sitting beside Donald was Cody. Cody had just graduated from high school the year we left Mason. Donald and Cody didn't come to our church, but they were in our community. And so I said to Cody, Cody, do you still work at Walmart? And he said, I do. And I said, that's awesome. And so there they are. And I started thinking about, and Donald said some other stuff that I can't repeat here. And then it encouraged me to put something out there on social media over the weekend. I wrote, if the poor, did anybody see this? If the poor in your community aren't saying nice things about you, then you are not being the church, you are not being the pastor, and you are not being the Christian that God would have you be. Do you hear that? If the poor and the marginalized aren't saying nice things about you, I'm just telling you, Donald had some not so nice things to say about some people. He said, but I liked you though. He said, you were always fair with me. You always treated me well, he said. Donald would come to the Wednesday night dinners a good little bit, and Cody would come with him sometimes too. Donald would always leave before the devotion. One night I remember Donald saying, I'm going to get my electric shut off. And he said, can you help me with the electric bill? This was at a Wednesday night dinner. And I said, how much is it? Sometimes when people say that to me, and then I say, how much is it? They'll say, $914. I am not kidding you. And it's like, ooh, you're in a pretty big hole. We can't pay that. But fortunately, Donald said, $168. I need $168. And I said, well, I'll see what I can do, Donald. And so he ate and he went home. I did the Wednesday night devotion. And then after the devotion, I said, listen, somebody in the community needs an electric bill paid. And if you feel so moved tonight, I'm going to pass around this little basket and put some money in. We need $168. And so we passed that around, and it seems like we got about $180 given. And so when it was over, I took the money and everybody left, and I walked over to Donald's trailer and I gave him the $180 and I said, here you go, Donald. And I rarely do that, but we had a pretty good relationship. And so I knew he was going to pay his electric bill. I knew he didn't want his electric shut off. And so, and he brought me the shut off notice. And so we paid his electric bill. And then a month later, Donald comes back and asks for more help, and I say, Donald, I can't do it, buddy. I mean, we've got a lot of people who need help, and we just helped you. We just gave you $180, and you know that. And he's going, I know, I know. And he said, I understand. He'd say, I understand. And he would go away, and he would, you know, walk away, and he wouldn't be mad. He understood. Other people needed help too. And I've got so many stories like that from back there. And my heart, let me tell you one more. There was this young couple that came to our house, and she was expecting a baby. Do you remember this one? And she was expecting a baby, and maybe they came into the church, but anyhow, they came and they said, our car broke down at Mineral Wells at the rest stop. And our car's there, and we slept in the rest stop because it was cold outside. We slept in the rest stop in the bathrooms. She slept in the women's, I slept in the men's bathroom overnight. And so we're trying to make our way back over into Ohio. So they had made it about an hour to our church, and they had about another hour to go. And they said, we need to go about another hour, and we're going to go to one of the two had a parent that lived somewhere in Ohio. And they said, and somebody who picked us up, they were bringing us through here, and they told us, if anybody's going to help you in this town, what'd they say? It's going to be that church right there. Man, do you not want that to be said about the church that you go to? That somebody drops them off, and they said, if anybody's going to help you in this town, it's going to be that church right there. And so they came, and I said, you know, they're going, well, we need to get here. It's an hour. I didn't know where it was. So I looked it up on the GPS, and I said to Diane, do you want to take a ride? And she said, okay. And so we got in the car. The couple got in the back seat. They didn't sleep very good the night before. Do you think you sleep very good in a rest area, rest room? You don't, according to them. And so just in 10 minutes, they were asleep. And they slept the whole way. I had it in the GPS. And when we got into the town that we were taking them to, we stopped at Little Caesars, bought them a pizza, gave them the pizza, finished, dropped them off, drove back home. And I can tell you that my heart is not always right when I'm doing stuff like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, the doorbell would ring. I told the preacher who was replacing me, we were in a community there, and there was a sidewalk from the parsonage to the church between the two, 15 feet apart. Diane said to somebody this weekend, Diane said, I told him over there that we lived close enough to spit on the church where we were before. And I said, but she never did. And I told the new preacher who was replacing me, 5 days out of the 7, somebody comes knocking on your door. And I said, I just keep track. I keep a little notes on who I've helped when, and I just help every so often. And there was a gas station just adjacent. So we were on one corner. There's a gas station on the opposite corner. People would stop and need gas. I would walk across the street and get them gas. I can tell you when the doorbell would ring, sometimes I would go, oh, God. And I wasn't using his name in vain. I was saying, oh, God. It was almost always somebody wanting something. I can tell you my heart was not always right. But it's weird. I can also tell you now that I look back on that fondly. I look back on that time as a time when I could really show God's love to some people who needed it. And I think about this scripture, and God's going to say to me, you really helped me out when you took the young couple over to Ohio, isn't he? I think this is the scripture that Linda preached from for the Lenten services. And she talked about these Ronnie's wife. I think this is the scripture maybe that she spoke from. God's going to say, I really appreciate what you did for me. And we're going to say, when did we do that for you? And he's going to say, when you did it for those people in need, you did it for me. I don't know how this is going to work, folks. I always say, I'm saved by grace. All the good works that I do, Paul called them rubbish. Do you hear me? These good works get me nowhere with God. They get you nowhere with God. You're saved by grace. You're not saved by works. And this would be a good place for an amen. You're not saved because of the good things you do. You do good things because you're saved. And so, one time, somebody came to the church, and it was a couple with a little girl, and it was during the school year, and they were homeless. They had been staying in a camper, and somebody needed the camper, and so they had to leave the camper, and they didn't have a place to stay. And so we had already, I think we'd already paid to put them up, because we would pay for one night's hotel lodging in the little motel, not hotel, in the little motel there. So I said to them, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you sleep in the church for 1 week. 7 nights you can sleep in here. We'll put you in the children's church classroom. And there was a door there that they could come and go from. And the guy was working. He wasn't unemployed, and the little girl was going to school, and I said, I'll let you stay there for a week. And so we got them things to sleep on, and then on Sunday, we made sure everything got cleared out of there and set the chairs up so that the children's church could go on. And I dare not ask the church people if it was okay if someone would sleep in the church for a week. Isn't that sad? Well, why wouldn't I ask the church people? Tell me, why wouldn't I ask the church people? They'd say no. I don't know where it is in the Bible, but somewhere it says it's easier to get forgiven than get permission. That's not in the Bible, I'm kidding. Do you know what it hurt? Nothing. It hurt nothing. They were in there for a week. They left. It turns out her grandmother let them come back and live with her. And you don't need to know all the details, but just know that you have a preacher who will let people sleep in the church for short amounts of time. And some of you are going, that's the kind of preacher I want. And some of you are going, I better never find out. And Jesus says that whatever you do for those folks, you've done for me. And it's not just poor people. I'm going to tell you one other story, and then we'll probably close. There was a guy named Jerry Tucker. Jerry owned a funeral home right beside the church. It was Fogelsong Tucker Funeral Home. And I think I've shared this on a Wednesday night. I've never shared this on a Sunday morning. But Jerry, he was a very fringe person of the church. He would come just every once in a while, almost like a Christmas and Easter person. But I got along with Jerry great. And I don't know if you know, anybody have their funerals prearranged, like prepaid for? So your funerals are already paid for? That's good. We won't have to pass around a bucket to pay for it, will we? Well, Jerry did that too. Do you know what they do with your money? The money gets put into an account so that if the funeral home that you give your money to pay for your funeral would go out of business, that money is still there. And then another funeral home would do your funeral. Even though you paid this funeral home, you're not going to lose your money because the money's in the bank. What's that? It's an irrevocable assignment. That didn't really help us much, but I forgot Logan knows a little bit about a funeral home. And you have to let the state attorney general's office know that you have that money. Did you know that? Okay. I'm sure you did. I'm sure you could teach me things about it. Yeah, you have to let the state attorney. So, Jerry wasn't doing that. I mean, Jerry had done a couple of funerals for people who had prepaid for their funerals. He had every intention of doing their funeral. He just needed the money ahead of time. And so he spent the money ahead of time. But anybody who had paid Jerry for their funeral, he had every intention of doing it, and he had done several. But the problem is, if Jerry dies, their money's gone. And so somehow this came to light, and somehow the authorities got involved, and so Jerry got in some trouble. Now, remember, I'm talking about however you treat people who are poor and down and out, however you treat them, Jesus is saying, I take that personally. It's an It's an irrevocable assignment that you treat them well, that you treat them how you would want to be treated, that you would treat them how I would treat them. It's an irrevocable assignment. I love that. It's an irrevocable assignment. And so I'm sitting down, listen to me, I'm sitting down at a district function with another preacher from our community, another United Methodist preacher from our community, and he starts bad-mouthing Jerry. I mean, I understand, because it turns out he paid for funeral pre-planning. He was an older guy. He's pretty upset. And I said, I will not entertain this conversation. Jerry's my friend. And I said, and I'm not defending Jerry, but I will not talk about him. And so I went over to the funeral home after that. And I talked to Jerry, and I said, I could very easily be in your shoes. I owned a restaurant for 15 years. It wasn't easy. It's hard. I said, so I've owned a business. I know exactly how it feels to be, everybody gets paid but you. That's what I said to one lady in Rhode Island. I went into a pizza place and she said, she's the owner. And I said, oh, I know what that means. Everybody gets paid but you. And she said, that's about it some weeks. And I said to Jerry, if you need someone to talk to, I'm here. And it's not because I'm a preacher. It's because I'm your friend. It's because I'm a Christian and I don't go out and talk about people behind their backs. I'm sympathetic. But for the grace of God, I remember standing in line at the food pantry with Sharon Fields, and she, I'm just talking to her, and she said, this is so embarrassing to be standing in this line at the food pantry. And I said, Sharon, but for the grace of God, I said, Sharon, I got food stamps. When Diane and I were young, we got food stamps. And we would drive to the next town and spend them. Anybody hear me? Anybody feeling me? You don't want to spend them in your local grocery store. Heavens to Betsy. They'd be talking about it in church on Sunday. We drove to Parkersburg and Marietta to spend our food stamps. And however we treat the poor, however we treat those who are down and out, if people can't turn to the church and not be judged and talked about and ridiculed, where are they supposed to go? If people can't come to the church for help, where are they supposed to go? And so, I confess today, that sometimes I don't feel like it. But I still try to do it. I wasn't always happy. When we got here and I found out Eileen White took care of all that, don't think I wasn't thanking the Lord. Lord, I thank the Lord for her all the time. Because whenever anyone calls and leaves a message needing help, I send Eileen a Facebook message, say, here's the number, here's the name, here's what they need, and she takes care of it. Through your gifts of the social concerns. Vita Lee, I can't tell you how many times Vita Lee, I've seen her truck pull in here at the side of the church to get food for somebody. And I always know she's not stealing the food out of the food pantry. She always feels like she has to tell me who she was taking it to. I know what she's doing with it. And Jesus says, every time you do that, Vita Lee, you're doing that for me. If you clean a room to help Linda Main, you may be doing it to help Linda Main, but do you know that your account gets credited with Christ as if you did that for Him? That's the kind of God we serve. That He cares about every person. He cares about every need. Can we meet every need? No. Can He meet every need? Yes. Oh, and I'm thankful for a church that puts up with a preacher who will let people sleep in it. Let's pray. God, I thank You I have a place to sleep. Thank You I can afford to go out and buy food. I thank You that I have a car that runs. And I thank You that I'm blessed beyond measure. Thank You for forgiving us of our mistakes. And I pray that You would help us to comfort and encourage each other. That You would help us to live in such a way that people know where to turn. To find help. I pray that You would help this steeple be a beacon in this community. And I pray that You would send Your Spirit to guide our hearts, that we may be more caring and more loving, so that those who are down and out, and those who are poor, and those who are in need, that they would say kind things about us, so that we can point them to You. We give You thanks and praise for Your forgiving us for our mistakes, for forgiving us the times that we have not heard the cry of the needy. And we thank You that we're forgiven. And we pray that from this day forward that You would help us to be the disciples that You would call us to be. We give You thanks for what Christ has given us. And freely, freely we have received. And help us to freely, freely give. We pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.